Well, that's probably good enough. Good morning, everybody. So you guys that have gathered here today, you're in for a very special Sunday. We dedicated this. This Sunday is the Sunday where we're bringing light to the persecuted church, and we're kind of using this as like a persecuted church mission Sunday. My name is Pastor Frank. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm the senior pastor here. See the gray in the beard? That I'm the senior pastor here, and we're so glad you're here today. If you are new this morning, we just want to say a special welcome to you. And maybe you just happen to walk in and say, I'm going to go check out a church this morning. And we just want to say welcome. I applaud your being courageous. I think it's weird to walk into a church. Who are these people? I want to tell you straight up. We're just a Jesus community of people who have come. Our goal here is to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. And we're all on our spiritual journey of meeting and knowing and following Him each and every day. And if you've come this morning, we just say a special welcome to you, and we're so glad you're here. We would ask you that afterwards, if you would, at the end of the service, there's a welcome center to the right, man. Just let us know you were here. If you have any questions about Jesus or the church, man, ask, and that would be great. So welcome in the name of the Lord. This church is actually a congregational-run church, and so we operate as a body of Christ. And so we have a leadership team, and our leadership team has spent quite a bit of time just praying and fasting and seeking the Lord. And I think we have a budget we're proposing for next year. So the 2020 proposed budget, are invited to attend our information meeting on Sunday, November 17th, right after the worship service. And we'll be talking about where we sense God leading and budgets and so forth. And that is, I believe that budget's available out there today. So that would be cool. Afterwards, we have a kind of a missions fair. So right afterwards, if you go out the church, or go out the doors to the building of the church and go to the left, there's going to be a special luncheon there, a missionary luncheon. And we have we've invited our local pastors for the most part to come, and our missionaries, I would say, to be a part of our service today. And so like Pastor Dave is here. Where are you, Skipper? Stand up. There's Pastor Dave and Joanne. We have Kids at Heart. Stand where you are. Stay where you are because we have a special gift for you that have come. Stay right there. Kids at Heart. Where's Kids at Heart? Wonderful mission organization. There they are. We're so glad you're here. Bridges. All the people that are with Bridges. Stand. Who's doing Bridges? There they are. There they are. Wonderful missionaries in the Lord. Hawaii, so Mauna Kalani, right? You got to stand because in honor of the Taylors and the amazing missionaries you do. Pastor Moses is here from India, traveled a long way, so God bless his presence with us today. And we are going to have some fun. So that is some pretty cool stuff going on. We, and you guys, thank you so much for being here. Afterwards, if you want to meet them and talk with them, they're going to be out in the foyer afterwards, and it's pretty exciting, and it's going to be cool. We have, as we were talking about this Sunday, there's a worship team that has its origins in India. Last year, and could I ask for that worship team to come up? Last year there was an explosion on a Easter Sunday morning in India, where a man, and it's interesting, they actually have the video to this, of the man put bombs on himself and went into a church. And during the service, he blew up Christians and killed a bunch of us who call on the name of Jesus. And after that explosion, a group of Christians came together and they wrote a song. And so I want to introduce, so your brother wrote the song, right?
Yeah.
So you tell us about this song, and so what's going to happen is we're going to sing this song, and it's going to be in English subtitles, but we're going to be singing it in the Indian language. And so tell us the history of this song and what it means.
Okay. Praise the Lord, church. So this song was written by my brother's friend who's in India. And this was dedicated to those people that were killed through this attack that happened in Sri Lanka, and it was a bombing attack. And when that attack happened, our church in Norwalk decided to do a little meeting about what was happening throughout the world, and especially for those people that died in Sri Lanka. So we were planning on having a meeting there, and I was talking to my brother in India, and he told me over the phone, "Hey, I have an idea. I want to do this song that one of my friends wrote, and especially for those people that persecute Christians." And I said, "Yeah, sure, but what does it mean?" He told me, "This is a prayer for those people who persecute Christians." And he said, "This is also a worship song. So through the song, we could worship, we could pray for those people that persecute Christians. And we ask for a prayer that, Lord, forgive their sins, Lord, and make them whole." So I want to thank Sister Mega for reaching out to us, and the pastor of this church, and the whole congregation. Thank you so much for having us here this morning. And we want to sing this song. Tune kya kuch na kiya mitane ko mere logo ko.
तूने क्या कुछ ना किया मिटाने को मेरे लोगों को तूने क्या कुछ ना किया सताने को
Father God, Lord, we thank you so much for a beautiful day, Lord. Father, we pray for those people, Lord, especially those who persecute Christians, Father. Lord, choose those people, Father, and make them whole like you chose Paul, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Father God, we pray for this church, Lord. We pour your blood on each and everyone that is here this morning, Lord. Help us grow in your name, Father. And we thank them for having us here. And we thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your blood, Lord. Forgive our sins, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone stand. Amen. God bless you all. Let's give that out a mighty hand. Can someone shout hallelujah? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! God bless you all. Thank you so much.
Wow. Yeah. How about one more time? Can we thank them for coming? That was amazing. Thank you so much. So I guess I forgot to ask for the ushers to come forward. Good job, Winans. Pastor Frank, way to go. So I'm going to ask for the ushers to come forward at this time. And as they do, I want to make two announcements. One, we have, when you leave today, you're going to be given a booklet that talks about ways that you can pray for the church. It lists like areas in the world where our Christians are being most persecuted, and you can be praying for them. So you just want to put a piece of material in your hands, and you walk and you say, how can I pray for my brothers and sisters? So that's kind of cool. This morning in my quiet times, I was taken to a beautiful piece of grass on the Sea of Galilee. How many people have ever been to the Sermon on the Mount? Ever seen that? You've seen it, right? Sermon on the Mount, Jesus goes up there, and he begins speaking to his people. Jesus says this, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed, imagine Jesus saying this, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Can you imagine? Rejoice, the Bible says, Jesus says, and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus getting up on a hill and saying, people who follow me are going to be insulted and harassed and persecuted. And he says, and when this happens, don't be surprised. It's because of my name this is happening to you. He says, rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. That's awesome. This morning we have two very special people. We have Pastor Moses who's going to be coming up and sharing about the persecution that's going on in India right now, which is actually quite horrifying when you hear about some of the governmental things that they're trying to do to crush the name of Jesus. And we have a very special person, Hamid is here today, and his wife Ghazala are going to be coming up. And for those of you that, what did I say, wife? Did I say his wife? No, it's his daughter. What am I doing, dude? Okay, so where's Hamid? Hamid and Ghazala, father, daughter. Susan's right, where's Susan? Susan's right there. That's wife. Everybody say hi to Susan. Hi, Susan. This is her daughter and her husband, and that's an amazing sister in Christ. This is an amazing family in Christ. You're going to get to hear Hamid's, their whole family story. So please, come up. So Pastor Vince is going to be interviewing Hamid. And Sonny is going to be introducing Moses. So please, come up. Yes. Yes. So I do want to say this. So this is what's going on here. So, by the way, Sonny's amazing over here. Sonny is, Sonny runs our, he's the chairman of our missions committee. Wonderful brother in Christ. at one point during the service, we're going to have to turn off the streaming when we speak about what's going on in India in order to protect lives in India. But we'll be turning that back on after we get through the sense of interviews and just want to hear about a little bit of what's going on. We're going to be praying as a corporate body for the church, so stay tuned for that. But again, welcome Pastor Moses, welcome Hamid, and everyone else up there. Welcome all. Say hello. We're glad you're here.
Thank you so much, Pastor Frank. My name is Pastor Vince. I'm the executive pastor here at Woodridge Community Church. And it's a joy for me to be able to introduce my brother Hamid here and his daughter, Ghazale, and his wife, Susan. Hi, Susan. And, you know, they've been attending church here for 3 years now. And just to give you a backstory, there are a number of people from Iran that have been coming that are seekers. They're Jesus seekers, asking about Jesus in church. And when they talked to me, I couldn't really communicate well because I don't speak Farsi. So I was praying to God and saying, Lord, send somebody who could share with them. And the following Sunday, Hamid walks in through the front door of the church. And I knew that was an answer to prayer. And so, I don't know if you've noticed, but we do have a translation ministry. It's his daughter, Ghazale, who's been translating. They have ear headsets there at the back. And we do have a Persian outreach, and Hamid is leading our Persian outreach here in church. So if somebody comes, so invite your Persian friends to come to church. Hamid is here. But Hamid, you know, yours is quite a journey for you and your family. And I know you've shared in church, in smaller group, on how you became a Christian. And you had a house church in your home, and how the authorities shut that down, and how they put you in prison, and also threatened you, and also how you lost your properties and your business, and tell us a little bit about how you came to know Christ and your journey of finding Christ.
Good morning, everybody. حدود 15 سال پیش اتفاقی افتاد که برادرم در ترکیه زندگی میکرد، برای چند سال از اونجا برگشت و کتاب مقدس رو به ما نشون داد و ایمان مسیحی رو ما از طریق اون با خوندن کتاب مقدس. بعد از اتفاقات بسیار عجیب و غریب تونستیم بخونیم و از مسیح آگاه بشیم.
About 15 years ago, after my brother was coming back from Turkey, living in Turkey, he shared the Bible with us, and we started reading the Bible, and we witnessed amazing work from God in our lives. So we came to Christ.
I think we can still have the live stream on at this point. So, okay. We'll cue you when to turn off the live stream. Okay. Tell us about the house church in your home. And I believe we have some photos that we can show.
ما بعد از اینکه به مسیح ایمان آوردیم، تونستیم خانواده‌های دیگری رو با مسیح آشنا کنیم و کم کم تونستیم در خونه خودمون کلیسایی راه اندازی بکنیم و البته با استفاده از کشیشی که در شهر دیگه بود آشنا شدیم با ایشون و ایشون ما رو ساپورت میکرد برای همه چیز در خونه.
After we became Christian, we were able to invite other families to join us for our services. So we had a house church in Iran, and we also got to meet a pastor that was living in another city, so he would join us to teach us and help our church grow.
وقتی که ما جلسه داشتیم، مجبور بودیم از خارج از خونه آگاهی داشته باشیم که همسایگان، اطرافیان و همچنین از طرف دولت یه موقعی به ما صدمه نرسه. چند سال به این صورت ما تونستیم به طور زیرزمینی کلیسامونو داشته باشیم و رشد بسیاری کردیم. به حدود 40 نفر در اون سالهای تاریک تونستیم کلیسا رو رشد بدیم.
We had to be aware of what was going on around us with our neighbors, our co-workers, so we can take care of our church to be underground, to keep going. And God blessed us and growth had a very big growth in our community, in our church, spiritual growth. And we became about 40 people as a house church, underground house church.
So tell us how the government shut down your house church, because we know it's part of the underground church, but tell us about what happened there.
در طول این 3 سالی که ما به این صورت کلیسا رو داشتیم، چند مرتبه هم از طریق دولت و هم از طریق اقوام و آشنایان تهدید شدیم که چرا به مسیح ایمان آوردیم.
After we became a Christian, we were confronted from families or friends, and they were questioning us, why you became a Christian.
بعد از حدود 3 سال، یک روز صبح زود، همزمان ماموران دولت هم خونه ما ریختن، هم خونه چند نفر از اعضای اصلی کلیسا.
After about 3 years of being a Christian, the government men came into our houses, not only our house, some other main members of our church.
ما رو دستگیر کردن و به نقطه نامعلومی بردن. در اونجا بسیار وحشتناک بود و در یک سلول انفرادی بسیار کوچک حدود 40 روز ما نگهداری شدیم. ساعت‌های بسیار سختی در اونجا داشتیم.
They took us to an unknown place and they kept us in an individual cells. When I say they, it was my father, my mother, and some other 4 other members of our church. They would we spent about 40 days in an individual cells, each one of us.
بازجویی‌های بسیار طولانی حدود 10 ساعت ما رو نگه می‌داشتن در اتاق‌های به صورت چشمان بسته، سوال‌های عجیب، اجبار به خوندن قرآن و سوال‌های بسیاری که اینها همه باعث شد که فشارهای عجیبی به روی مغز و اعصاب همه کسانی که گرفته بودن ایجاد بشه.
They would spend hours of questioning us, sometimes more than 10 hours of questioning us, and they would make us to read the Islamic holy book, which is Quran, and they would ask us questions to put more emotional and spiritual pressure on us.
بالاخره بعد از حدود 40 روز ما رو همگی رو آزاد کردن، ولی اونقدر فشارها در اونجا زیاد بود و اعمال مختلفی که اونها به روی ما انجام دادن تا ما رو ساقط کنن از سلامتی، باعث شد که بعد از آزادی ماها حتی کوچه خونمون رو گم می‌کردم. من همچنین بقیه که در اونجا آزار و اذیت دیده بودن، محل کار رو گم می‌کردیم، خیابون‌ها رو گم می‌کردیم و باعث بیماری‌های گوناگون شد این جریان.
Because of the persecution in the prison during that time, after we were released after about 40 days, we would experience mental and physical illnesses, even to the point that I couldn't find our home or my store or wherever I was going. Sometimes I wasn't able to find the streets that I was driving. And it wasn't only for me, it was for other members who were at the prison at the time with us too.
بعد از مدتی جریانی برای ما اتفاق افتاد که باعث شد تقریبا هستی و نیستیمون رو تقریبا از لحاظ مادی از دست بدیم. نه، و این هم نقشه دیگه بود که سر ما آوردن تا ما رو ساقط کنن و از ایمان مسیحی سست بکنن.
After we were released, because of some events that happened through government men that we didn't know they actually are working with government, we lost some properties and it affected our business. And they were just trying to get us distracted from our faith.
آنقدر این فشارها زیاد شد که من مریضی بسیار سختی گرفتم و حدود 4 ماه بدون حرکت توی خونه افتادم و هیچ گونه حرکتی نمیتونستم بکنم و حتی نمیتونستم بلند شم که دکتر یا بیمارستان برم.
And the pressure was so high that for about 4 months I had to stay home. I couldn't move. I couldn't even go to the doctor because I was unable to move in any way.
در این مدت هرگز خدا رو فراموش نکردیم، همواره همه ما دعا می‌کردیم و از خدا کمک می‌خواستیم تا از این وضعیت بتونیم نجات پیدا کنیم.
During this time we didn't forget God and we tried to just trust God and rely on God that he will move us out of the situation.
تصاویری که می‌بینید قسمتی از کلیسای خانگی ما هست و افرادی که در اونجا ایمان آوردن و همچنین دو تا کشیش که به ما کمک میکردن تا در ایمان مسیحی رشد کنیم. این تصاویر هم مال کلیسایمون در ایران هست، هم کلاسایی داشتیم در ترکیه، هم کلیسای ما در ترکیه که همچون کلیسای ایران بسیار رشد کرد.
The pictures that you are seeing are part of the pictures of our church in Iran and then in Turkey. We would spend times in Turkey to get discipled and study. And the pictures of two pastors who helped us to learn and study the Bible.
بعد از اینکه ما قسمت زیادی از زندگیمون نابود شد و فشارها زیاد بود به خاطر اینکه مرتب ما تهدید می‌شدیم، هم از جهت دولت هم از جهت اطرافیانمون، اقوام و خیشانی که مسلمون و متعصب بودن، و ما مجبور به ترک ایران شدیم.
After all these events we stayed in Iran for a while and then because what was happening and the we were confronted from friends, families and government men we decided to leave Iran and move to Turkey.
مجبور شدیم به پناهندگی رو بیاریم در ترکیه. مدت 4 سال در ترکیه بودیم، بسیار سخت گذشت اونجا، ولی خداوند برکت داد و عده زیادی به وسیله بشارتی که ما دادیم و لمس خدا قلب‌هاشون رو ایمان به مسیح آوردن در ترکیه، که البته ایرانیانی بودن که اونها هم از ایران مجبور بودن خارج بشن.
During our time we moved to Turkey, we became refugees and we stayed in Turkey for about 4 years. During that time it was really hard as living life as refugees, but we had the opportunity to reach out to other Iranians, other refugees who were not able to stay in Iran, and our church grew there as well, and we were able to reach many people in Iran and in Turkey.
بالاخره خدا اجازه داد ما از ترکیه هم خارج شدیم و وارد کشور آمریکا شدیم، ولی به هر جهت شیطان بیکار نیست و همواره ما مورد حمله شیطان از اون روز اولی که ایمان آوردیم تا اکنون بودیم و هر چه رشد بیشتری در مسیح داشتیم این حملات شدیدتر بود.
We were finally able to move to America, and even now we are still under persecution in different aspects, and we are just trying to trust God. And from the first day that we became Christians, we experienced persecution up to the to today. And we've been under the attacks of Satan. So good.
Brother Hamid, you know, I have the deepest admiration for you and your family because you were willing to hold on to Jesus and your faith in Jesus even though you were threatened with your life, put in prison, you lost your properties and your business, you were uprooted from your country. Why do people still trust in Jesus in Iran even though they are put to so much persecution? Why do they still trust in Jesus?
Uh, ظاهرا به نظر میرسه که هر جا جفا بیشتره نیاز به خدا بیشتر احساس میشه. در ایران اونقدر جفا زیاد هست که مردم خود به خود به سوی خدا بازگشت میکنن و نیازشون رو خیلی از مردم نیازشون رو در ایمان به مسیح پیدا میکنن.
When there is more persecution, there is more need of God, and the church grow more. And so because of that, because of the so much persecution in Iran, people find what they need in Jesus.
Thank you so much, Reverend Lee. One last question, because I know, on a personal note, I know that you still have a daughter in Turkey who's also serving the Lord there. What can we pray for you and your family?
راجع به دخترم اول توضیح بدم که ایشون و شوهرش مدت 10 سال در ترکیه میسیونر هستن و کشورهای اطراف ترکیه و واقعا با سختی های بسیار زیادی در اونجا روبرو شدن، ولی همچنان با اعتماد به خدا و اشتیاقی که به خدا دارن کارشون رو ادامه دارن میدن.
I just wanted to let you know first that my daughter and her husband, they've been working and serving God and doing missionary work for about 10 years now in Turkey. And even though they faced many hard times and persecution over there, they are still trusting God and relying on God and keep doing what God has told them to do.
از جهت دعا اول برای کل کشورهای مسلمان به خصوص ایران که کشور ما هست، میخوام که دعا کنین تا خداوند قلبهای مردم رو لمس بکنه. بعد اینکه کسانی که در ایران ایمان آوردن با سختی‌های بسیار زیادی مواجه هستن، برای اونها دعا بشه که خداوند نگهدارشون باشه و حمایتشون بکنه و بتونن اونها به خدا اعتماد بکنن. همچنین
I first want to ask you to pray for all Muslim countries, especially my country Iran, because the persecution is very high in those countries, and that also God will protect the people, the Christians who are going to these churches, because the pressure and the attacks are many, and that God will protect them and they can trust God during all these times.
همچنین با تجربه‌ای که در سال 15 سال زندگی مسیحی ما دیدیم، هر موقع که ما در مسیح رشد بیشتری داشتیم دیدیم شیطان شدیدتر حمله کرده. این حملات از روز اول بوده و همکنون نیز برای ما اتفاق داره میفته. میطلبم از شما که از خدا اینو بخواییم و دعا کنین که حملات شیطان رو بتونیم ما به خوبی ازشون گذر کنیم.
Since we became Christian about 15 years ago, every time we witness a growth, a spiritual growth in our family or in our church, we always also face attacks. So I want to ask you to pray for us to be able to trust God and that God will protect us through these times.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Hamid. Please stay and then we'll... Let me introduce you our next speaker. Brother Sunny will be the one to introduce our next speaker.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Sunny Talluri. I'm the Missions Committee Chairman. I took over this role this year in January. I had pretty big shoes to fill in. So God has been leading our Missions Committee, and I'm glad we are doing this today. And a couple of months when we decided to do this persecuted church Sunday, we just planned it. Pastor Frank, Pastor Vince supported the missions committee. And just few days ago, we came to know that actually today is the persecuted church Sunday all over the world. So this is how God works. I mean, we were not aware of it till few days ago. So For me, personally, for me, being part of the missions committee started with Pastor Joseph Moses over here. I joined the missions committee over here in 2013 after my first mission trip along with my wife. That's how I got into the missions committee. But my association with Pastor Joseph Moses goes to all the way to 2007. And I've known him for more than 12 years now. And he has been visiting us frequently, so some of you already know about him. But I will have him tell us about yourself, Pastor Joseph Moses. And as he's sharing his ministry, we have some pictures that will be displayed. And these pictures are from my last mission trip that I went in 2017 into the tribal regions in India. No, not yet. Yeah.
Good morning, church. Praise the Lord. First of all, I would like to say a word of thanks with a deep gratitude from our deep heart to the leadership of the Woodbridge Christian Church, Christian Community Church, and all the pastors, especially Senior Pastor Frank, and the Missions Council for all the prayers and support that you have been extending to us, especially for the mission work in India. Thank you so much. And about our ministry was started 26 years back in the city of Vijayawada in the state of Andhra Pradesh on the southeast of India. And myself and my wife, we were very simple pastors at the time, and our idea was only to have two or three small congregations in the city and just go on in the ministry. But as the days go on, time is passing on, the Lord miraculously gave us a vision to serve the primitive mountain tribal groups in our state, scattered in the mountains, which is called Araku Valley region. And there are so many people groups who are away from culture, away from hygiene, away from education, away from what we all enjoy here. And the first time when we saw them, it was really a crushing point in my heart. Even in our state, these kind of people are there still. We were just reading in the books, but the personal contact and experience with them gave a deep burden and concern for them. But we were not in a position to do anything at that time. It was very hard for us even to run our simple church ministry in the city where we were living. But later, God has been really insisting me to go on. And at that time, we prayed and started surveying that region where Kodu, Bagada, Valmiki, Savara, like these kind of people groups are scattered. And the fact I came to find out why the ministry is not much done in that particular region is, one is, there are some factors which I will tell you later. And because of some factors, nobody is that much dare enough to go, bold enough to go into those regions. But I don't know how the Lord led me. I'm not saying I'm bold, but it was clearly that the Lord who led us, and there is a great driving force behind us to push into these regions. That is how we first started with the open-air gospel meetings. In that meetings, and there are some people got saved and healed, and a couple of young men dedicated their lives to serve the Lord. But I don't know what to do, how to do. I was living in a small house. At that time, my house is just, you can see, it was 300 square feet. That's all my house. And I brought three young men and made them to stay with us, gave them food what we eat. We started teaching them the Word of God, life of prayer and faith, and the aspect of soul winning. That is how we sent them back to the tribes. In the same manner, two or three young men coming and going, coming and trained and going, and sometimes I had to teach them alphabetical. That is how the church started growing. And in the field, we have planned outreach teams to go on. In the beginning, I was the team leader, and I had some couple of young men and pastors with me, and gave them an example, what is outreach, how to do it outreach. Then we formed outreach teams, and that is how the ministry has been growing, and now we are almost more than 80 small and big congregations, and with a team of almost like 40 tribal pastors in that particular region.
Thank you. At this time, let's stop the live streaming.
Well done. Can we stand and let's pray as we close our service tonight, today? I want you to think about the Middle East. I want you to think about India. Last week we talked about China. I want you to think of this. The Apostle Paul says in Corinthians that when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. Do you realize that you and I in this room are a part of the universal body of Christ? Our brothers and our sisters are all over the world. And when one part of the church body is being persecuted, how does it make you feel? How should it make you feel? How should we as Christians today in America feel about this? We should probably be thankful for this country, yes? We should be thankful that there's police not waiting outside to arrest us, yes? We should be grateful and thankful. You shouldn't be lazy. You shouldn't be relaxed. We should be alert. We should be grateful. We should be thankful. And we should be praying for those that are persecuted. Can we as a church, I want you just to close your eyes, bow your heads, and in the quiet of your heart, let's pray for India right now in our hearts. I want you to lift up your brothers and sisters that you've never met in India today and pray for them.
I think we can put the live stream back on.
You can. Pray for their strength. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in India today. We at Woodbridge Community Church. There are people there, Lord, that we have never met. But we're one in the blood of Christ. There are those that are there, God, their country persecutes them. Because they call on your name. We ask and pray for the country of India today, Jesus. We pray, Lord God, for your gospel to move in mighty ways. We pray, Lord God, that lives would be changed and transformed, as Pastor Moses said. Why do people continue? Because they can see the evidence, the living testimony of Jesus. Lord, we pray for India today. We ask, Lord, that you would send your angels charge concerning that country and that you would fight and defend your people, Jesus. Lord, we lift up and pray for the Middle East. We thank you for Hamid. Thank you for his family. Lord, we pray for the church in Iran, one of the fastest growing churches right now in the world, all under persecution. We pray for those we've never met today, Jesus. Our brothers and our sisters, washed in the blood of Christ, just as us. We ask God for them today. We pray that you would strengthen them today. We pray, Lord God, that you would encourage them today. May your spirit fall upon them today. We ask God for them. We pray for the government of Iran. We pray for these people that would persecute Jesus. Would you bring shame upon them? Convict them concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Just as you struck Saul off his horse so long ago, would you bring these people to clear understanding? And Lord, we pray again for China. Brothers and sisters we've never met, washed in the blood of Christ that we'll spend eternity with. Right now, this morning, they are under persecution, hiding in home churches, hiding in churches from the government that would come and arrest these people. God, we pray for our brothers and sisters in China. We ask, Lord God, that you would protect, keep, encourage, and strengthen them, Lord God Almighty. We pray against these governments that do this. We ask, God, that you would bring conviction to these governments. We pray that you would bring conviction to the United Nations. How could they allow this to happen in a civilized world, quote unquote? And Lord, why should we be surprised? For you said so long ago on a hill in Galilee that those that followed you would be persecuted. We would be insulted and even attacked. And yet you say, great is our reward in heaven when these things happen. For these are the things that happened so long ago and seems to continue. Lord, we as Woodbridge Community Church pray over our brothers and sisters today. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray these words and say what?
Amen.
You guys... are dismissed. Have a blessed Sunday. Out there is a great lunch. Don't miss it. You can talk to Pastor Moses and anyone here. God bless you. You are dismissed.